Why don't you turn with me to 1 Peter? We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 through 17. My wife, when I told Nancy what I was going to be speaking on, title of submission, and she says, boy, she says, that's really a hard message to give, to submit. And under my breath, I says, I was thinking of Ephesians saying, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. I go, yeah, it's a really hard thing. But it also goes on and says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave his life for it. I'm paraphrasing here. Neither one of those can we do without being equipped. Submission is something that does not come natural to us. Submission is something that is not in our DNA. It's not in our flesh. It is something that comes as we understand the love and the sacrifices of our Lord Jesus Christ that has done on the cross for us. Something that we could not do, but he did it willingly, and he did it in love. He submitted to the Father. And as our example in Scripture, we are to submit. And verse 13 starts off, therefore. And right then, we're kind of stuck. We're kind of stuck. Because when we read Scripture, we need to understand that word therefore should first trigger the idea of what's it there for. Because in this case, Peter is going to give us some guidance, but he has also given us some instruction beforehand. So we need to look at each text that we're going to be reading, but keep it in context of the entire Scripture of God, the entire Word of God. So we're going to be stopping right there in verse 13, where that first word, therefore. You know what? Let me just read the entire thing, and then we'll open in prayer, and then we'll go back into the message. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Let's pray. Father, we do desire to submit. Father, we do desire to treat your word as our lives, Father, to treat your word in your instructions and in our daily lives, Father, but we need to be equipped. We need to understand the weaknesses that we have and the strength that only comes from you, Father. So may you just open our hearts this morning. May we examine our lives in a way that is telling about us individually. Because as we saw this morning, that you keep an eye on us individually. So we are our own person. We are at many levels, but Father, but you keep your eye upon us. So Father, may we examine ourselves as we go through this text. Father, as we examine our lives, that line, if it lines up with yours. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. So in verse 13, we have that word, therefore. And so we're kind of stuck, as I said, about that. So we need to examine what happened before, what Peter was saying before verse 13. So let's go back to verse 1. Let's go back to verse 1 in chapter 2. And all of a sudden, there's that word again. Therefore. So we're kind of stuck again. Remember, looking at the text, let's keep it in context. What is the Holy Spirit, through Peter, trying to tell us? So we'll back up just a little bit more, and we're gonna be looking at chapter 1, verse 22. And then we'll get back into our main text. So chapter 1, verse 22 of 1 Peter. It says, since you have been purified, your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. since you have been purified your souls. How have we been purified? How have we, and it is that since you have purified, in other words, that's a process that's already begun and that has already taken forward. We have purified your souls in obeying the truth. The truth of God is there in front of us. It's there before us. That is what we were talking about on Wednesday night in Galatians chapter 6. To love the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. The word sincere there, the word the sincere that you say through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, comes from the Greek word that is describing where the men and that made the statues, that carved the statues out of granite or out of, what's the other, marble, out of marble. You know, every once in a while they'll chip off something and let's say the nose falls off or some detail of the statue falls off. They came up with a way that they would mix the marble dust with wax and they were able to put that piece back into that statue instead of having to do the statue over and over and over again or again because it had a flaw in it. But the problem is in the summertime when it got hot, that wax would start to melt and that flaw would be evident in that statue. Well, they would declare statues sincere because it was without flaw. It was perfect. There was nothing in that statue that they carved that had that wax dust in it. So they were doing that. So this sincerity is this purity of what this represents. So we are to be sincere in the love of the brethren. Love one another fervently with a pure heart. Verse 23, having been born again, and there is the key. There is the key going back into verse 22. Since you have purified your souls, since you have purified your souls, we have been born again. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So we have been born again. It is no longer us that is living, but Christ who is living in us, giving us this strength. This strength that's going to allow us in a moment to see how we can submit. Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. Through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is grass, is as grass, and all glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers and its flowers fall away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. God lives and abides in us forever. It is the internal character of God's word. It never changes. We are without this flaw because of who he is. We are flawed in our creation, but we are now a new creation in Christ. We have the power to do what is being called upon for us to do, but not from ourselves, but from him. And it says, all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. That's also including the laws of man. That it all fades away. It's all going to be washed away. But the word of God endures and abides forever. And the end of verse 25 says, and now this is the word which is the gospel was preached to you. This eternal character of God's word. Picking it up then in verse 1 of chapter 2, he says, therefore, because of us being born again, because of us having Christ within us, because of the power that we have through him in us, therefore, lay aside all malice. We could not do that without his strength. Lay aside. It really translated means strip yourself. Strip your clothes off. Strip everything off of you who you were before. It is no longer you in that. It is no longer you, so why are you carrying this baggage? Why are you carrying this old tent around if this tent is no longer you? He says, so lay it aside, strip it away, all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, evil and all evil, envy, and all evil speaking. Now, this evil speaking is not dirty jokes or bad things or bad language. It really is translated into gossip. It really is translated into talking about one another in a way that does not build them up or does not glorify Christ, does not glorify the Lord. So we are to refrain from, and I hear so many people under the guise of let's pray for this person in a certain situation that really all they want to do is talk about it. And that's where your heart, that's where you need in your heart to understand, what are you doing? Is it really caring for that person, or is it something that we just want to talk about them? We just want to gossip about them. So laying aside all malice and evil speaking and hypocrisy. And in verse 2 it says, as newborn babes. Peter is saying we are newborn babes here. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now we all know that we cannot continue, as the scripture says, on milk alone. We need to have meat. We need to have the depth of the gospel in us. We need to understand the principles, not just the milk of the word. But in this case, Peter is referring to how a baby desires and is eager and wants to take the milk of its mother. I have a newborn granddaughter, and she ravishes the time she needs to eat. And she tells you when she wants to eat. She desires that. There's nothing more important to Eden, little Eden Riley, than to have that milk of her mother, to give her that nourishment. And Peter is saying, as newborn babies, desire the pure milk of the word. You need to desire it. You need to desire the truth. But that you may grow. That you may grow. So in other words, if we're desiring that milk, we're going to grow. As we do grow, we're going to desire other things. Eden is eventually and soon will start desiring cereal. And then she'll start desiring other things in life, and meat and vegetables, and all of those things will nourish her. And then finally, praise the Lord, she'll be able to enter into nirvana and go down to In-N-Out and have a double-double animal style. The pinnacle of all food, the double-double down at In-N-Out animal style. But now she desires milk. She desires this milk, and we should be desiring the milk of the Word, that you may grow in the Word. Thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, tasted that the Lord is gracious. In verse 1 here, what David Gusek, the Calvary Chapel pastor in Santa Barbara, was the head of the Bible College in Europe. He describes verse 1 in this as he says, this describes the attitude of the heart that receives the word and grows by the word. This is a humble, honest heart, willing to do what the Word of God says, a changed heart. I cut out an article in the newspaper the other day. It says, parents won't sue in Disney death. I think most of us are aware of this situation. The parents of a toddler killed by an alligator at Walt Disney's World said Wednesday that they don't plan to sue the Florida theme park resort over the death. Matt and Melissa Graves of Omaha, Nebraska, said in a statement that they want to focus on their family's future health. A family spokeswoman, Sarah Brady, said she couldn't say whether the financial settlement had been reached with Disney. After the 2-year-old Lane's death, Disney World did make changes to limit possible visitor contact with the alligators on the property. I don't know what's in the Graves' heart. All I know is that in this society, the first thing we want to do is sue. The first thing we want to do is make this public declaration and just to see how much money we can get. If it happened to me or happened to one of my grandchildren, I would, my first reaction would be, Tomland really wouldn't sound very good, and Porterland wouldn't sound very good. But then it came up with Nancyland. Now Nancyland sounds pretty good. I'm going to own this park. You know, I'm going after this. But that's not the heart of what God is looking at here. This is a changed heart. It's a demonstration of a changed heart. And I think even more dramatically is, who remembers the Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina? Who remembers that? It was just a little year, over a year ago, last month, that this young man, Dylan Roof, came in and murdered 9 people in a Bible study down in the basement of this Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina. Came in, was there for about an hour, more than likely prayed with them. He was welcomed with open arms. He was this predominantly black church that welcomed this strange young man into their midst without any fear, without any concern. And an hour later, he stood up and murdered 6 women and 3 men, including the senior pastor there at the Bible study. Side note, he's slated to go on trial in this November, so it's coming up. This is what the pastor, Norvell Goff, the interim pastor, said right after that. He says, "We may not be in control of those who commit evil acts, but we are in control of how we respond to it." He goes on and says, "Because of our faith, we've shown up once more again. 1 week to the day that these murders occurred, there was another Bible study in that same room, in that same basement of that same church, packed with believers, packed with those who knew the love of Christ." He says, "Once again, we show up once more again to declare that Jesus lives, and because he lives, we can face tomorrow." Takes that old song, "Because he lives, we can face tomorrow." There is, it gets me every time I think about this, because it is a changed heart that we saw there. This was not a heart of flesh. You cannot tell me that this church did not receive the Word of God, did not apply the Word of God to their hearts. They were a changed people. Another thing you did not see there a year ago, and I'll get all wound up here, is that you did not see the Sharptons and the Jesse Jacksons of the world there. They told them, "We don't want you. We don't want your kind of hate being intermingled in this tragedy, because we know who we are. We know where they are. We know what the Word says." And the people there desired, it says, the relatives of the people that were killed desired forgiveness and urged the shooter to repent. They were forgiving him for what he had done to their family members, to their loved ones, and they desired for him to repent. That is a changed heart. That is a heart that is open to God. That is a heart that has been changed by God. Because none of this is going to last that is built by man. So again, therefore, laying aside all malice and hypocrisy, as a newborn child, desire the milk of the Word. They desired the milk of the Word, and the milk of the Word grew them in their hearts. And they tasted that the Lord is gracious. Tasting that the Lord is gracious, that's that personal experience that we have with God's grace. We all sitting in this room, I pray that we've all had a personal experience with the grace of God that shows us His love, that causes us to receive God's Word in a way that changes our lives, that we are like babes receiving milk, milk of the Word, desiring it. So laying this saying, tasted that the Lord is gracious, that we are a changed person, that we are heart, our hearts have been changed. Now let's go back to verse 13. Let's go back to verse 13 in light now of all that we're seeing here, all that Peter is encouraging us to do. Let's take another look at verses 13 through 17. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, not for your sake, but to glorify God, for the Lord's sake, to represent Him properly. We must be equipped to do this. We have to have the keys and the tools to do this. And we saw where the tools come from, starting in verse 22 of chapter 1. So we are to submit to ourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Every ordinance. It just doesn't say the ones we necessarily agree with. Now we also know, like in Acts chapter 9, that we are to consider God's law over man's law. The greatest example we see as believers is the abortion law. We know that taking of a life is wrong. It is murder. We are not going to obey that law. We are going to encourage others in a loving way, as we saw Alpha here, as we saw the people and the work that is done there to encourage these young women to choose life over abortion. But it is still the law of the land. But we know that there's God's law that are higher. And it also says back in verse 24, all the glory of man is as a flower of the grass, and the grass withers. So all that's going to wither away as well. But Peter is saying we are to submit ourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of those who do good. I've seen commentaries on this section of scripture saying sent by man, we are sent by him, as referring to God being God sent this person to them, but it's also man sending other representatives of man. But we know in Daniel chapter 2, verses in 21, 22, that God raises and removes kings, and God raises up kings. God is sovereign through all of this. God's hand is in all of this. We need to understand that and never forget that, even when we don't understand how things go spinning out of control. Right now, I call what we're in this season of our country, I call it the silly season. We're in the season that you cannot figure out what's up and what's down. Because you got both sides saying they have the truth, and both sides' truth is polarly opposed to one another. So how do you know what the truth is? The truth comes from the Word of God. That's where the enduring truth comes from. And then we filter out as what God's Word says as to how we are going to manipulate ourselves or traverse ourselves through this situation. So in verse 15 it says, "For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." In other words, we are going to be people that are being seen, that we conduct ourselves as believers. It's going to glorify God and hopefully and possibly bring others to Him as we put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free. Interesting that Peter is talking about in verse 16 as free. Yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice. In other words, we are free through Christ. Christ has freed us up, and we are we're free to do all things. But the main thing is we're free not to sin. We have the strength now not to sin. We are not to use our liberty as free in Christ to continue to sin in our lives. And that's the power and the strength that God gives us through His Word, through His indwelling in us as we are this new creation. That we are set, that we as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice or sin. But as bond servants. You know what a bond servant is? We all know what a bond servant is. Those who don't, slavery was very, very common in that day and age. It wasn't something. In the Bible, they take it as just part of society. There was the free and there were the slaves. The bond servants were those who at one time or got into a situation where they were in debt or they were in servitude of some type, but were then released from that, but decided to stay with the master that they had. They were by choice their servant. That's what a bond servant is, an under-rower. One that is by choice a slave to that person. That person treats them well. That person makes sure that they've got proper clothing, proper food, proper shelter, that they treat them with respect. And yet that was part of that society. So they were bond servants. Paul always reckoned himself to be a bond servant of Christ, one that is by his own desire and his own need and want to be the slave of Christ. That's what we are. That's what we should be looking at ourselves, that we are bond servants of Jesus Christ by choice. Because if there is not free will here, if there's not a choice that God allows us to have, then there's no true relationship. We have to have the choice to choose. And so we are going to choose to be bondservants of God. And we are going to lay ourselves aside. We're going to lay our liberty down. We're going to lay our will down. We're going to humble ourselves, allowing God to deal with us many times when we don't understand it, and many times when our flesh rises up and tries to protest, that we are to lay that aside. God, I don't understand why you did this. I don't understand why you took this loved one from me. I don't understand why Margaret is laying there unresponsive in a way that is giving us grief and sadness. But God, I do understand you. I do understand your love. I do understand your compassion towards us. I do understand that you know better for us than we know for ourselves what is best for our lives. So I'm going to rely upon that. By faith, I will walk. By faith, I will move forward. Stepping out, as I think I shared with you a while back about stepping our feet into the Jordan. We had to step our feet first. By faith, we had to step out before God parted the waters in that case, or before God is able to do something for us that he desires to do. Many times we have to step out in faith into that unknown. So we are stepping out in this faith now as we are submitting to the government. We think today we have it really bad. We think today that we are so oppressed. We think today that it couldn't get any worse than it is now. The corruption that we see and the vice that we see and the just out and out lies that we see. But you got to remember, when Peter was writing this, Israel was under the thumb of Rome. You think it was bad now, think of what they were going through. And think of the atrocities that they were suffering under. But God says, you must obey every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Let me deal with it. It's not about you. It's never been about you, and it never will be about you. Let me deal with it. You just follow me. And that's what Peter, that's what the Lord reminds, that reminds me of what the Lord said by the ocean, when he reconciled Peter once again to him, after Peter denied him three times, after Peter turns to another disciple, John in this case, saying, what about him? And what did the Lord say? Don't worry about him. You follow me. It's about us individually following who God is. So God is telling us that we are need to, we as free, we have the liberty not to sin. We have the liberty not to do those things that he's called us to do. But we also have the strength to be bondservants of him, to allow him to deal with us. He says again, let me worry about it. You just follow me. and to give me the glory. It's the glory comes to him and not to us. Then interesting, here in verse 17, Peter sums it up in four different statements, in four short little statements. Honor all people. Honor them. They are God's creation. God loves them as much as he loves you. At this point in time, praise the Lord, that we have that relationship and we should desire, again through the word, that pure milk of the word, that we should eagerly receive, that we want to have them have that pure milk of the word as well. But before we could do that, we need to honor them. We hate the sin and love the sinner. Those who are committing things that are not lined up with the word of God, we need to, as again, we talk in Galatians chapter 6 last Wednesday, that we are need to minister to them. We need to counsel with them. We need to come to them in a loving way to share God's love with them. So this is honor all people. Love the brotherhood. We are to honor all people, but we are to love the brotherhood. Love those who are in Christ. Love those who are going through the same thing that you're going through, the same struggles, the same stumblings, the same failures, the same temptations that we all still have in our flesh, but they're going through the same thing you're going through. And that should really motivate us to encourage one another. Because if we're going through it, they're going through it too. We're no different. None of us are any different. We all have the same temptations. Some have different ones, but we all have that same flesh that continues to rise up. So love the brotherhood. The third one is fear God. Fear God. Not that God's going to bop us over the head with a 2x4, but the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge or the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is to have a healthy understanding and respect for who God is, what he has done. That's the fear. I've also heard it described as the fear God that you do nothing that saddens his heart, that you do nothing that causes a separation between you and him. So fearing the Lord, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God. And lastly, honor the king. He does honor twice because the king is just a person. The king is on the same level as we are in God's eyes. There's no hierarchy here with God. God sees the rich and the poor, the famous and the infamous, the ones like most of us who just live our lives without any kind of limelight at all. He sees us all the same. So as we honor all people, we are to honor the king. And again, as in Daniel says, God removes kings and raises up kings. They're all from his authority, all his hands. When Israel desired, they wanted a king. What was God's desire for Israel? Right? God's desire for Israel was what? For him to be king. That's what he wanted. He wanted to rule his people. But Israel, looking around at all of the other different civilizations, seeing a king in front of them, they said, we want a king too. So God raised up Saul, the first king of Israel. Didn't work out too well, did it? But God is saying, okay, this is what you want. This is what I'm going to give you. They weren't submitting. They weren't submitting or desired to submit to God's will. They wanted what they wanted. They wanted not being obedient. Obedient is, I want what I want when I want it. There's no desire, giving over to what God is doing. So they weren't submitting. So they suffered for it. You see all three examples of Scripture, how Israel would refuse to submit, and then things tragically would happen. Then they would repent and draw God back into their lives. God was faithful to come back, and he's faithful in our lives to come back as well. But over and over and over again, and it all comes down to submission. It all comes down to giving our lives over to God. giving our lives over, in this case, in our text this morning, giving our will over to the government in a way that honors God. Let me take care of it, he says. I will take care of it. You just follow me and represent me in a way that properly represents my heart to the world. Israel didn't do that, did it? They lost that right to represent God to the world. And praise the Lord, that's why we are here today. We have been grafted into this family because we are responsible now to represent God properly to the world. So if it happened once, it could happen again. We could lose that first estate if we don't properly represent him. God could use others that he desires for us to do. He'll use someone else to do it. We miss out on the blessings, but we are need to run our lives or control our lives in a way that we properly represent who God is. So as we go through our lives, we need to understand how we are to do this. And again, the strength does not come from us. The strength comes from him. The strength comes from him as we are being reborn. We are that new creation. The strength comes from God dwelling in us through the Holy Spirit being within us, giving us wisdom, giving us knowledge, giving us the truth of the word as we apply it, as we have knowledge. As Solomon had all this wonderful knowledge, that's what he prayed for. He wanted to rule the people in a way that gave him great wisdom and knowledge to do what God's will was. God granted him that. But in the flesh, knowledge is only as good as the wisdom that we have to control it. And it's wisdom that allows us to use the knowledge that we have in our heads in a way that glorifies God. So knowledge is up here, wisdom is here, giving us what is in our hearts. We are this new creation. We have a changed heart. That is going to allow us to get through this silly season, as I call it, getting us through this time of our lives that it seems to be so disruptive. Glorifying God, allowing him to deal with us, allowing him to deal with the situations, and our job is to represent him properly in all that we do. So my prayer this morning is that for each and every one of us to understand our responsibility, to understand that the pure milk of the word is what nourishes us, that we should desire it in a way that we're like a baby is ravaging her mother's milk, that we are looking forward to it and cannot contain ourselves unless we have it. And may we have that changed heart as we saw those people in Charleston. That without the pure milk of the word, who knows how they would have reacted. They would have reacted more than like anyone else that did not have that strength. They did not understand God's love. And for the family that lost that toddler. Father, I don't know. I mean, I have no idea what's in their hearts. I just know that they chose to do it in a different way than what society tells them to do anymore. And that, again, to me, glorifies who God is. So may we go through this week, may we go through these next months in a way that gives God the glory, that acknowledges God's sovereignty in all of this, that we are to be representatives of him in a way that others see him through us, that gives him the praise, that gives him all of the glory. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for the change that your word will cause in us as we apply it to our lives, as we lay aside our free will, as we lay aside all that we have in our flesh, Father, and choose to follow after you, to choose to give you all of the glory, Father, to give you what you desire to have, Father, that we may be good bondservants of yours, representing you properly. And may, with that changed heart, what joy and peace that will give us. And may you just, Father, just be glorified in all that we do. I keep on coming back to that word. Father, we just thank you for this time that we've had in your Son's name. Amen.